We will continue the discussion about recycling into this week's Vents Day segment. It's your turn to speak up on a pair of topics on the news at 800-838-3760 and jx@jeffnet.org. Our survey this week is also on recycling and how you might recycle more given the opportunity. Our second topic, unrelated, is a frequent topic of discussion around the region, homeless people and where they show up and spend time. And here's where Emily Cureton arrives after some legwork.
Well, sadly, Jeff, it didn't take much legwork to talk with about half a dozen people who are currently homeless in and around Ashland. Our goal with this Vents Day conversation is to create a more inclusive conversation. So last Friday, I walked around some well-known spots, and I asked the same questions to pretty much the first five people that I encountered. The responses, they all vary a bit, although the one thing all these people had in common was that they had slept outside the previous night. Trevor is one of the people I talked to. We'll start with him. I met him outside the Ashland Resource Center and asked him a couple of questions about himself before I asked him for his opinion.
My name's Trevor. Where did I sleep last night? I slept last night in a field. I live off of a bicycle, and I've been doing this for 20 years straight, and I'm in the mystic 21st year of it, and I'm not going to stop living off my bicycle. Southwest Oregon is not bike friendly, and Ashland is only friendly if you're a yuppie in spandex. On a bicycle, I'm pretty tough on people, because if I'm not, then I end up a victim, and I'm not going to be a victim.
That was Trevor speaking to me in Ashland last week. I approached four other homeless people over the course of an hour to ask them how they feel about local laws and ordinances and how they would change the rules if they could. Trevor immediately went to bike laws, a guy who lives on his bike. He says he has a lot of trouble with kind of feeling like drivers are actively trying to kill him. We want to know what you think about your local government's response to homeless issues. Do you think ordinances aimed at keeping people off of sidewalks and away from storefronts are rightly labeled exclusion ordinances? Do you feel that homelessness affects your experience in the downtown area or your business? What kinds of policies would you support to address the problem? We want to hear from you this Vents Day at 800-838-3760, or you can drop us off an email, jx@jeffnet.org.
What was the approach like? What was the approach like when you talked to people on the street?
Jeff, I kind of came with four questions in my hand. I asked people where they had slept the night before. I asked them, and this one I feel a little embarrassed about. I asked them if they had access to regular plumbing. And then I asked for their opinion. I simply said, do you feel that local regulations serve your interests? That was a resounding no from everyone I talked to. And their reasons were all different, and the changes that they would make were all different. We're going to hear from the rest of those interviews. None of them were more than 5 minutes long, these conversations, and we've condensed them down to about a minute or less for this Vents Day segment. And I'm hoping people listening will interact with some of these folks living on the street in Ashland.
Homelessness and recycling are topics here on the Jefferson Exchange on this Vents Day. I'm Jeffrey Riley. She's Emily Cureton. We want to hear from you at 800-838-3760 over the phone. Let's get your thoughts via email at jx@jeffnet.org. And for the folks who've been talking to us via the survey, we'll get your opinions on the air as well. Back on Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange with you in a minute 20.
It's Vents Day here on the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Emily Cureton here with Jeffrey Riley. And you, thanks for listening. It's our weekly time to vent our opinions on two topics in the news and in our area. This week, we are talking about homelessness and also about recycling services in your area. Hope you'll join us. 800-838-3760 by phone, or you can send us an email, jx@jeffnet.org. So on the topic of homelessness, we took a look this week at local ordinances aimed at addressing the problems or perhaps just hiding them in our downtown areas around the region. In pursuit of a more inclusive conversation, I went out in Ashland and talked to some homeless folks last Friday, people who registered their thoughts with me in person. We recorded these very brief interviews, and we're going to be playing them throughout Vents Day today. We'd like to hear from you as well. Do you think that the rules in your city or town actually help the problem, and how would you change them?
And since we always provide two topics, our other topic this Vents Day is about recycling. We started off this hour talking to the folks at the City of Eugene about the Love Food Not Waste program expanding its composting of food products from commercial to residential pickup sometime this fall. And we want to know just in general what issues you might have with recycling. And the question about food scraps for you where you live is, what happens to your food if you don't eat it? What do you do with your food scraps? And the other question is, how would you like to recycle more? And what stops you? 800-838-3760 over the phone. Email is jx@jeffnet.org.
Jeff, we've got some folks coming up on the phone lines here. Really happy to hear from them. Before we get to those calls, I'd like to hear more from someone that I interviewed last Friday here in Ashland. I met Jose near the Ashland Resource Center. He was standing next to his bike and agreed to be part of Vents Day. I started by asking him a personal question. Let's hear his responses. Do you mind telling me where you slept last night?
Well, I was in the wilderness. You take something so you can brush your teeth in the morning and wash your mouth out, like soda or something, but there's no water and there's no lights or nothing in the wilderness.
And do you feel that the local and state laws serve your interests?
I don't know. I can't really keep up with them all. I have to, like, live by my own law. Any time of day, it's like perpetual motion, so you just got to keep one spot to the other. So if I do follow the law, it's just the law of nature, pretty much.
What's an example of a law of nature?
Well, you know, you kind of like the smoking thing. So if you see kids, the law says don't, like, contribute to delinquency. So you put your cigarette out, you know, so that's like a law, you know. You know, we cannot, like, do anything that will disrupt the community in any way, you know. But we're allowed to still, you know, get by. It's pretty simple.
That was Jose in Ashland there. Really struck me when he compared his life to perpetual motion.
I got the same thing. The idea that he's constantly on the move, going from place to place, trying not to get caught sleeping here or there or just dallying too long any one place.
And as someone who's lived out of doors for a long time, Jose said he supported the smoking ban that recently passed in Ashland city limits. He said it helps him smoke less and it creates a cleaner environment for the whole community. We didn't get that tape in the interview, but want to know what you think this Vents Day. 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Let's take a call. Let's go to Helga in Talent. Helga, you're on the air.
Hi. I spent quite a bit of time volunteering at the Ashland Community Resource Center, and I did personally get to know a lot of people. I just absolutely am aghast at the kind of efforts to make life harder that our regulations in Ashland have imposed on people. It's like a little devious legal trick. And I think that, for one thing, people overgeneralize what it is to be without a home. I mean, there's all kinds of assumptions that people make. It's kind of like racism, but I don't think it has a name yet. You know, it's...
Well, what kinds of assumptions do you mean, Helga? What are ones that you hear commonly from people?
Oh, that the people who don't have a house or don't have a job, that they did something to create that in their life, that it's somehow their fault, or they're mentally ill, and sometimes people get called mentally strange just because they act different. But you know, society has always had people who are different, and it's a complicated issue. And we just don't have services for people. And I think it's just a shelter, you know, housing first, I think would be a really good solution rather than regulations more.
All right, Helga, thank you for that. Appreciate your comments. Housing first was something that the folks I spoke to on the street also echoed, Jeff, quite a bit, saying, hey, these are rules, but we kind of feel forced to break them in some ways. Evie in Ashland certainly echoed that. I met Evie on Pioneer Street along with her dog, and she said she'd spent the night before in a nearby park. I asked her what she thought about local efforts to address homelessness in the downtown area, and here's what Evie had to say.
You know, you're just making it harder is what the way I see it for people to try to get off the streets, get a job, and find a place, because it's already strikes against you. Like, I was working, I have a job, I'm educated. It's just that I'm not able to find a place right now, so that's the option. It's not that there's, like, a support system, you know, or catch. A lot of people do or have that, you know, just things happen, life happens. The laws can only protect so much because at some points, like, you're forced to break them because you don't have anywhere else to go. I wasn't able to keep my job for that long because I didn't have the stability that I needed in order to do that. You know, where am I going to put my stuff? Where can I put my dog? Like, I have to keep an appearance, you know, for work. You can't go in looking grimy all the time, you know. What can you do?
That was Evie talking from downtown Ashland to me last Friday. It was an interesting conversation, one of the more sort of wrought ones that I had. Me and Evie were about the same age, sitting there talking on the street. And actually, you can hear in the background some other folks who were sitting with her were having a conversation with police officers while that interview was going on.
Yeah, I was struck by some of the realities that were reflected in what she had to say. I mean, the fact is that in a lot of the Rogue Valley and the greater Medford-Ashland area, as I understand it, the vacancy rate in rentals is about 2%, which is crushingly low.
Yeah,
that
very difficult.
That means there's a lot of competition for places to live, and it drives the prices up as well.
That's very true. So as you heard, she had a job and says she had a hard time keeping it because she couldn't find a place to live, a place to shower, a place to have some stability in her life. I'd like to go to a call, Jeff. Bob in Jacksonville has been waiting patiently. Bob, you're on the air.
Thank you very much. We talk about this year after year. We don't do anything really constructive about it. On the one hand, I understand business owners in downtown Ashland paying taxes, don't want people just sitting around or, at worst, urinating, throwing cigarettes. Why can't we go to the method that they used in the Depression years, the CCCs in particular, where they took an area, built shelters, and then those who were there had to contribute by, if they didn't have a job, they worked in the gardens and built more shelters to keep the plan going. But at the same time, if you do have a job, let's have a bus service out to that area. And the jobless rate in Jackson County right now is 4.9. I'm in the landscaping business. We're all hurting for helpers. There are jobs. I personally, being 73 years of age, get a little deterred when I walk through Lithia Park and some guy stops playing hacky sack and comes over and asks me for money. He's in his early 20s. So, you know, I'm right in the middle on this thing. We've got to provide shelter. We've got to provide opportunity. But at the same time, the people who need these services need to step up and do something for themselves. By empowering themselves, they'll get some pride back. Thank you, Mike.
Thank you for that, Bob. Appreciate that. He's not the first person to mention the CCC, the Civilian Conservation Corps. This is Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange. Jeffrey Riley and Emily Curitan with you, asking for your comments, your thoughts about two topics on the table today. One is rules and laws aimed at homeless people, and we're hearing from some homeless people that Emily talked to in Ashland last week. We're also hearing from you on that one. And our other topic this week is recycling. And we started off this hour talking about the pickup curbside of food waste scraps in Eugene. That'll be a residential pickup starting in September on a limited basis. So we want to know what happens to your food if you don't eat it, and how would you like to recycle more, and what stops you from doing that? So that's the general constellation of things we're looking for from you on this Vents Day. Join us by phone at 800-838-3760 or by email at jx@jeffnet.org.
Jeff, we put a survey up to talk about recycling, doing a bit of social media outreach. And you can find that survey at our website, jeffexchange.org, or find us on Facebook. It's still there, and we'd love to hear from you that way, or give us a call, as Jeff said. Amy and Ashland wrote to us on the survey, and I just love this one. She is a number of people who reported using critters to deal with their food waste. Her critters, in this case, are worms. Amy and Ashland wrote, "We compost in an indoor worm composter. We looked into composting services, but they're way too expensive. So we used to compost in our backyard, but our landlord didn't want to attract raccoons." I've heard the same thing from my landlord, actually. Amy says the worm factory is great. It's easy to maintain, no smells, and the worms are adorable.
Some of the other comments in here. Ariel in Ashland wrote to the answer to the question, what happens to your food if you don't eat it? And she writes, oh, this makes me feel busted. I used to compost, but since I rent and have moved recently, haven't reestablished a compost pile, so I'm scraping my plate off in the trash or sprinkling rotten scraps under trees. And to the answer to the question, what would you like to recycle? How would you like to recycle more and what stops you? Her answer was plastics. My understanding is that while many more could be recycled, it's not cost effective for ecology, which is what Ashland Sanitary Service became in recent years.
Right. And this year, actually, the plastics roundup was canceled for this area. So certainly a lot of things. I know with my own neighbors, I see those clamshells in the recycling bins every week, and I shake my fist just a little bit because they are unfortunately not recyclable in this area.
The hard plastic ones for the
yeah, the ones that
food?
Like the salad greens come mm-hmm. in, all kinds of stuff comes in there, and they're that extra thin plastic, and I guess it's just not a cost benefit to deal with it in this area.
Well, and it's interesting, too, as we talked about in the newsroom yesterday afternoon, the reason that the plastic clamshells are ubiquitous in Ashland is because Ashland outlawed styrofoam containers years ago.
Uh-huh.
So they got rid of the one and got the other, and that one's it is recycling as well.
The usual comedy of consequences here on Vents Day. We want to hear from you about recycling and also how you feel about your local government's response to homelessness and the problems surrounding it. Give us a call, 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Let's go to a caller right now, Jeff. Let's go to Jim in Grants Pass.
Jim, welcome to the Exchange on Vents Day.
Yes, good morning. One of the big recycling problems is disposing of glass. I don't mean beer bottles or something that there was a deposit on, but glass from pictures, glass from people doing a little remodeling, windows and whatever. I've asked a half a dozen people that are in thrift stores and stuff when I buy pictures to redo, and they say, we can't find someplace. Well, you know, when people donate these things, we've got a little cracker smoked glass that nobody wants. Time after time after time with small remodeling projects and everything, you got a project. Well, number one, other little quick thing. I'm 75 years old. When I was 7 years old, my mother and I came out from Indiana. She had a job waiting for her in Portland, but because, you know, no car, no whatever, would have been so far out of town, it was impractical, and that by migration is how we ended up in Grants Pass. Now, manifold that over and over and over, multiply, you know, over the times, people that somebody has offered them a job, but within practical reasons, you know, there is just, as you say, there is no rental, no transportation, the whole bit.
All right. So both of the issues coming up to your far. Thanks for sharing about that, Jim. Appreciate it. Let's go to Dale and Eugene talking about homelessness. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, go ahead.
Are you there?
Yes.
My name's Gail, and I am really outraged at the protocol in Eugene when a person who is on the street leaves their stuff to, say, go get a cup of coffee in a shop or to use the bathroom. The police generally call Public Works, and Public Works comes along and scoops up everything as if it's garbage. And that puts the homeless person back to square one, and because that person usually has papers with them, the homeless person has to go around and reestablish herself or himself with all the agencies, and considering the amount of mental health problems among that population, it's just cruel, an unusual punishment to take all their stuff and basically throw it away.
So that they're getting reduced to another, like back to bare earth again, having to build up again.
Right, right. I mean, we criminalize homelessness as if it was that those persons' fault.
So, Gail, would you support having, like, lockers downtown or some kind of facility where people, even if we're not ready to take the step of providing shelter, there is a storage facility?
Absolutely. Uh-huh. Absolutely. I mean, it's an albatross in a way for people to have to cart all their stuff wherever they go. And lockers would be a great improvement.
Well, thank you for calling us.
The CCC idea was, I like to hear that because We really need that in this country.
Some kind of service force?
We turn a blind eye to homelessness. There are camps here, but there's a long waiting list, and it's a drop in the bucket.
Okay, Gail, thanks for the comments. Very much appreciated. Good to hear from you on Vince Day.
And Jeff, last week when I was out in Ashland talking to homeless folks about how they feel about local laws and ordinances and whether or not they serve the interests of the people they're often aimed at, it came up over and over again that there's not a place to put their stuff, and that people feel like these ordinances, such as not blocking the sidewalks in Ashland or even the smoking ban, are just making things harder. I want to go to a clip from those interviews from Mama Gummy Bear. Mama Gummy Bear, among many people who used a nickname with me, she said she was in Lithia Park and charging her cell phone on a street lamp when I encountered her. I asked her where she'd slept the night before, and here's what Mama Gummy Bear had to say.
Where I slept last night was, I'm not exactly sure, but it was right by a creek. Had to hide underneath my camouflage tarp to keep out of the rain that was coming. Got soaking wet still.
Do you think local laws and ordinances serve your interests?
No, not at all. They're not to help us at all. They're to hinder us.
How so?
They keep us from having safe places to sleep and safe places to gather. More of it is just love and being able to help each other instead of the pushing people away. There's so many people going homeless each and every day.
Well, thank you, Mama Gummy Bear.
Thank you.
I appreciate your time.
How quickly we forget, too, because she mentioned the fact that she got soaked. You know, it did rain last week in the Rogue Valley. And we forget sometimes when the weather's nice like it is right now that it's not just a matter of walking the streets with your stuff, but also trying to stay out of the elements.
Exactly. And this is one of the kindlier times of year, even with the rain. So, a winter outside in this part of the world is nothing to write off as easy, I would say. It looks like we've got a few more calls to fit in here. Let's go to Betsy in Ashland.
Hi. My concern, too, is about the homeless people is the fact that most of the studies that I've read say that the people having housing that is stable gives them the ability to stabilize and to basically be able to go and look for a job and get a job. And so I just started as a matter of curiosity, looking at all of the housing that was supposed to be affordable in the application process. And I was appalled. First of all, they want a clean credit history. A lot of these people don't have one, or it's been ruined because they lost jobs. The other thing is the criminal history. Well, homelessness has been criminalized to where people are getting criminal trespass tickets, and they can't pay them because they obviously have no money, so they want out for their arrest. So right there, they've just cut off the people that need the help the most, because of the circumstances in which they're thrown. I've had several friends who had jobs for years lose their jobs, and through no fault of their own, and they've become homeless. And it's devastating. I mean, just the fact that all of a sudden you can't pay your bills and you can't pay your rent, just it's mind-boggling. I mean, I found they really even had trouble thinking straight. And
so these really were people. These are the people who literally were one paycheck away from homelessness, and when the paycheck stopped,
yeah. So it's really, and I am really concerned with the city council. They seem to be putting all their attention on things like whether we have plastic bags or not in the stores. Well, that's a pretty trivial pursuit when you're looking at people that literally don't have a place to park themselves and be stabilized. And I think there's a lack of compassion here that just really astounds me for all the talk about how caring this community is. I don't see it
on a
daily basis.
All right, Betsy.
And the other thing about the person that kept talking about how they keep moving. Well, I've talked to friends of mine who are social workers, and they have a lot of people that end up with all of the aspects of mental health problems because they are homeless. They weren't before.
All right, so an endless cycle there that goes on. Thanks for the thoughts there, Betsy. Appreciate that.
Yeah, it's certainly a lot of nerves to touch on this issue. Here in Ashland, as I said, it didn't actually take me a lot of legwork to find half a dozen homeless people who were more than happy to be interviewed, extremely coherent, and in tune with what I was talking about just by walking around and making eye contact. So that was the premise for this week's Vents Day. Maybe we can get one more call in here, Jeff, if you want to go to Mark in Reading. Mark, welcome to The Exchange.
Good morning. Yes, homelessness is a national problem. It cannot be solved by local ordinance, because all that will happen is that homeless people will have to go somewhere else.
All right,
so
thanks.
There's my opinion on it.
Thank you,
and
Mark.
Good day.
Yeah, right, and let's give the final thought here, Jeff, to Bubba. Bubba was hanging out on Pioneer Street on Friday and told me she'd had cancer and spent the night before in a nearby park. Let's go out of this fence day with Bubba.
If it were my world, in a perfect utopian Ashland Bubba society, I would probably do like a section for smoking and drinking. That's it. That's my only problem. Because I'm an adult, I'm a woman, I'm outside. And I'd like a place where I can just be comfortable and like be a woman and do me. And when I'm trying to sit and talk story and hang out or just medicate, I don't know, we'll say 4 out of 10 times, and then people come up, Johnny Law, and tell me to move around, or you can't do that here, or take my whiskey or whatever. But I don't take stuff for my pains and my itises, my malady, to say the least. So I drink and smoke about it all day long.